Blog Talk Radio.
This is Merle with Merle, and I'm your host, Merle Exit. Well, it's a nice day today here in New York City in Queens. It's I'm inside the house, and there's this Shakespeare Company, the Reduced Shakespeare Company. They're going to be doing a show here in Queens called The History of Comedy. Abridged, I think. And so what we're going to do is we're going to be talking with Reed Martin, who's the managing partner as well as one of the actors, to find out what the show is like all about. And I'm calling him now. You'll see. There
Hello, this
go.
Is Reed.
Hi, Reed. How are you? It's Merle Exit.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, you're on the air.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Sure. So let me ask you the first question, which first introduce yourself to my audience.
Oh, hi, I'm Reed Martin. I'm one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and we're going to be at the Queen's Theater performing our latest show, The Complete History of Comedy Abridged. They'll laugh, they'll cry, they'll kiss good money goodbye.
it's a good way of putting it, okay? Now, first of all, before we go into the show itself, tell me about the company.
Well, the Reduced Shakespeare Company is a three-man comedy troupe, and we're known for taking long, often boring and tedious subjects and turning them into short, sharp comedies. And our first show was The Complete Works of William Shakespeare Abridged, which toured all over the world. And since then, we've gone on to produce American history and the Bible and Western literature and the holidays and Hollywood movies. And this is our latest, The Complete History of Comedy Abridged. And it goes all the way from cavemen telling rock jokes all the way up to Chris Rock and beyond.
Well, is this going to be the first time you're doing one of the shows in New York?
No, we've played in New York many times. We played Lincoln Center at the Sirius Fun Festival. We played the New York Festival for the Arts back in the day. More recently, we've played the New Victory Theater on 42nd Street a couple of times in the last 5 years. But this will be the New York premiere of this new show.
Oh, okay. So this will also be the first time you're performing in Queens, I guess.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Oh, okay. Have you seen
the
theater?
Or
you don't know yet?
Well, I've seen it online, but I haven't. I'm looking forward to being introduced to the Queen Theater.
Okay. So now, let me go into this thing, the history of comedy. So you're starting from the cable. So what kind of subjects are you going to be going through?
Boy, when we were creating the show, a lot of our Facebook fans, you could find Reduce Shakespeare Company on Facebook and Twitter, we put out a thing, well, if we're going to cover the history of comedy, what would we cover? And people tend to send in things that they know, so probably over the last 50 years or so. But what we enjoy doing is going further back and surprising people. So, you know, in researching the show, for instance, we found out that a Roman emperor invented the whoopee cushion because he thought it was hilarious. You know, who knew? We trace the history of why did the chicken cross the road from, Shakespeare's version, to cross or not to cross? That is the question. through burlesque, you know, why did the chicken cross the road? It was looking for a pecker, you know, that sort of thing. All the way up to postmodernism. Let's cross the road. We can't. Why not? We're waiting for the chicken. And things like that. So, and then we discover that Abraham Lincoln was the first stand-up comedian. So he does a set, you know, like that. So it's a lot of fun, and hopefully some nice surprises for the audience.
What do you use? What kind of? I was looking online. Do you use puppetry in this?
Yes, we do the. We find sort of a clown spiritual guide called Rambozo, whose catchphrase is "Get in, get the laugh, get out." And he takes us to a recent experience he had with the United States Supreme Court and his experience with puppet government. And so the U.S. Supreme Court is played by sort of Avenue Q style puppets. So our style is new vaudeville. So in that it's smart and it's stupid. It's physical, it's verbal, it's intellectual, it's scatological, and so, you know, and it's very fast moving. So far we've performed the show. It premiered about a year ago at the Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park. Then we took it to Merrimack Repertory Theater outside of Boston for a month. And most recently it had its European premiere at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival in August, where it was a big hit. So we're looking forward to returning it to the East Coast.
Well, this sounds like my sense of humor, too.
Well, I hope so. Hope to see you
there. My background, by the way, my background is being a comedian for 30 years.
And, oh, awesome!
And I have an extremely warped sense of humor.
I think you would fit right in.
Yeah. So, but I should, but I should probably forewarn you that if you hear, I'm one of the laugh out loud type persons.
Well, those can be good or bad.
So if you hear one that seems louder than the rest, it's probably me. I don't hold back.
Well, you know that. If you get somebody who's a little louder, that's great because it leads everybody else. Sometimes if you get somebody crazy, everybody's turning around going, "Who is that?" Yeah.
Well, that usually starts to happen when I'm at a show, watching a show, that people start with the "Who is that?" But I can't help myself. I mean, it's just,
you got to enjoy yourself. Yes.
You know, it's interesting because I had gone to the museum, the Moving Image, and Marlo Thomas and Deborah Messing and.
Mm-hmm.
Gloria Steinem were there.
Well,
and
well.
The basis, this was had to do with the, there's a Comedy Hall of Fame.
Okay.
And
I
so
did not know that.
Marla was, like, they were talking about in terms of laughter. And there's that aha moment.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes us laugh. And I thought that started analyzing all my material. I went, yeah, that's why that's funny. It's that aha.
I did a show with Marlo. I did a show with Marlo in San Francisco. Yeah, it was called Moving Right Along, done at the Magic Theater in San Francisco about 7 years ago, and it was written and directed by Elaine May of Nichols and May, and Marlo Thomas was in it. So she's a very nice lady. I enjoyed that.
That's funny. As a matter of fact, because I have... I want to get an interview with her. But anyway, so to get back with this, so you're going through periods of time. By the way, how long the show is, how long, and is there an intermission?
Yes, the show is a shade under 2 hours. I think the first act is 45 minutes and the second act is 40 minutes. Yeah.
So there's what I call an interpetition.
With an intermission.
Yes, well, I call it
or an inter-drinking, yeah.
Or inter-pish, no, pish means tea in Yiddish.
Oh, I got gotcha.
An inter-pishin, because that's what everybody does.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because the more they drink, the more talented we seem, yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, they do serve beer there, come to think of it.
That pays the bills.
And that's true. So now tell me about, you are one of the managing partners, is that it?
Yeah, I, along with Austin Titchener, we're the managing partners of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. We write, produce, direct, and frequently act in the shows. And Austin and I met at university, at the University of California at Berkeley, doing shows there in the theater department years ago. And we kept in touch. I joined the Reduced Shakespeare Company in 1989 through another Cal Berkeley friend. And then 2 years later in 1992, we needed a new actor, and I called Austin. We were performing our original show, The Complete Works of William Shakespeare, abridged in the West End in London. And I called Austin and I said, would you like to come play Hamlet in London? And he said, let me think, yes. So he's been with us ever since. And he joined in time to write our second show, The Complete History of America, abridged. And he was perfect for that because I knew he was a writer and a director and an actor. And he double majored in history at Cal, and I had double majored in drama and political science. So that was the perfect subject. And, of course, comedy we've been studying our whole lives. So it was right up our alley to write a show about that.
So now with the shows you've done, do you think this is because the subject is the history of comedy? Do you think this could be the funniest?
Oh, boy. You know, people ask that. What's the funniest show? What's your favorite show? And it's kind of like asking, which is your favorite child? you love them all, for various reasons. I will say that this show has gotten excellent reviews right out of the gate and has been a big, I'd say, critical and box office success. So something about it, I think, is tickling people. I mean, part of our thing is, as well as the new vaudevillian approach, is we do a lot of research. We hope it doesn't show, but it's fun to discover obscure facts. Joseph Grimaldi was the father of modern clowns, born in London 1778, and is credited with inventing the rubber chicken. You know, so you find these facts which aren't necessarily funny, but then it's challenging and fun to find a way to work it in and make it funny. So, it does seem to be resonating with people.
By the way, I should tell you that I have three blogs, and one of the blogs is my rubber chickens.
There you go.
I have rubber chickens. I take them to places, and I take photos of them traveling and all kinds of stuff. And now they have
like
their
lawn
own
gnomes or something. Yeah.
Oh, then you would
like
have loved
gnomes.
This.
Yeah.
Oh, because you're in California? Oh, this is where I got the rubber chickens.
Whereabouts?
There's a place. This is the rubber chicken forest. I went, what?
What?
This place? It's the Twisted Oak Winery in California.
Is this in Napa?
And that's their shtick.
Huh.
And when you go there, you're at the bottom of the hill, you see this, like, house, and the rubber chickens hang out of the house. As you continue up the hill, they're hanging from the trees, and it's just their thing. So they have these rubber chickens. You can buy the rubber chickens. And, of course, it's a regular winery, wine tasting and the whole bit.
Right. Oh,
so
that's
you
funny, because I...
Yeah.
Oh, I would. I live in Sonoma. I grew up in Sonoma, so I'm in the heart of the wine country. That's hilarious.
Yeah. So what... They kept on mounting. I now have, like, four chickens with one of them as a child.
I got
from Chicks R Us, of course.
Oh, that's funny. That's awesome.
But anyway... But you know what I'll do? I'll bring my rubber chickens to the show.
There you go.
And I'll
we'll sign it for you.
And I'll take pictures of the rubber chickens watching the show.
There you go. Perfect.
And, oh yeah, which is a good question. Hopefully, I don't know where I'm sitting. I'm hope that they put me close up front. I have to talk to them because I would like. Can people take photos? No flash?
No, we don't. Not photos during the show, but you know what? We always go out to the lobby after the show and sign autographs and meet the audience, so we can definitely do photos out there.
Of course, you realize everybody, they always go, no, you can't take photos, and everybody thinks their iPhone is not, even though it has a camera facility in it, it's not considered a camera.
Yes.
Everybody. Their iPhones.
The rules are. Oh well. Yes. No. Yes. No photography of any kind. But people then tag on in their own minds, except for me. Except for me. I'm special. We're all special.
So how old were you when you decided comedy was your thing?
Well, I got into theater. It seems to me fairly late. I was halfway through college before I took my first theater class. Didn't do it in high school, and just fell in love with theater. So I'd say at about 20 or 21, decided I wanted to be an actor. And then I would say, in my late 20s, I was living in New York, in Brooklyn, and with a million other actors, and saying, well, what makes me different from any other actor? And I said, well, I'm funny verbally, so I think comedy is going to be my way, but I'm not as funny physically as I would like to be. So at age 27, I auditioned for Ringling Brothers Barnum & Bailey Clown College, and got accepted and went off and studied at Clown College in Venice, Florida, and then spent 2 years on the circus as a clown and assistant ringmaster. So I would say actor at about 20 or 21 and comedian probably 27.
So with that, it was mostly, in terms of being a clown, it's slapstick as opposed to...
It's physical comedy. Yeah. So I went to Clown College because I had written already comic plays and things in college. But I didn't want to be just only verbal. I wanted to be physically and verbally funny. And so, yeah, so you study the comic masters at Clown College, you know, all the silent movie clowns, Chaplin, Keaton, Harold Lloyd, Harry Langdon, and then, you know, up to the Marx Brothers and Laurel and Hardy, and then you study, you know, the classic Looney Tunes, and then, you know, up through the Stooges and Jerry Lewis and Abbott and Costello, and, you know, so just learning all the classics.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. So this has been your success, I guess.
Well, yeah, I feel very fortunate to be able to make a living at what I love, you know. I'm not wealthy, but I'm making a living and have been making a living at it for, you know, 25 years now. So very, very fortunate to make a living and being able to do what I love.
What about in terms of your audience? Like, do you see, like, the age or anything? Or what is your best and what is your worst?
Well, we tour all over the world. We play, you know, one- and two-nighters like we're doing in Queens. Then we do longer sit-downs. You know, we've played the Kennedy Center 7 or 8 times. We usually go there for maybe a month. We ran in London in Piccadilly Circus 3 of our shows and rotating rep for almost 10 years. And then we travel overseas. We've played about 12 foreign countries, England, Ireland, Belgium, Holland, Israel, Australia, New Zealand, China, Japan. And so the audience response is kind of universal, which is a feeling of nausea and motion sickness. But I'd say that in America, focusing on America, we tend to draw younger audiences than many theaters are used to, and they like that. Because we hope we're helping to develop the next generation of theater goers. I know a lot of theaters in America struggle with their demographic keeps getting older and older, and they're losing audience members. Well, and part of that could be we're very active on the social media, on our webpage. We have a weekly podcast and Facebook and Twitter. But I just think the style of humor is universal. So I'd say we also play a lot of universities, so that tends to draw younger audiences. I'd say probably 20, I mean, it's pretty broad, but I mean, it works for all ages, but I'd say 20 to 50 is probably kind of our target. That's very broad, but yeah. I didn't get to the second half of the question. The only place it hasn't worked as we've toured all over the world was Japan. All these other countries, even if English isn't their primary language, they understand it very well. Belgium and Holland, most people speak some English, you know, and Singapore, it's English and Chinese. When we went to Japan, we've been there 3 or 4 times, and One time they did an in-ear audio translation, but translating jokes into a different language in a different culture, the timing's all wrong, and they probably don't get the references. One time they did super titles above the stage. That didn't work. So I'd say, yeah, that's the only place where it didn't really work, because they didn't know what in the world we were saying, or they did, but it didn't make any sense.
No, I understand. I had remembered, and it's funny because I had remembered I was doing a show, I was on the stage doing a show, and they had somebody that was interpreting for the deaf, and I thought to myself, I don't know, how are you going to possibly do this? Because I was imitating Jerry Lewis as the Nutty Professor doing Cinderella and Spoonerisms. And I was thinking to myself, and I just had to keep saying, Merle, don't even think about it. Don't look at the person who's trying to interpret, because
you're,
you're going to crack yourself up. I mean,
when we started at the Renaissance Fairs out here in California, and they had sign language interpreters, and there were one or two interpreters who really enjoyed doing our shows because they were so fun and so fast moving, and we gave them carpal tunnels. They had to stop and recover because our shows, three characters changing costumes so quickly, they wore themselves out.
I don't think they're going to have one there.
Okay. Probably just as well for their own health.
Yeah, I think so. So when are you going to be hanging in Queens at all?
Interestingly, we go directly from Queens to perform at a festival in China, mainland. We've never performed in mainland China. We performed in Hong Kong several times, but we're going to the Wuzhen Festival in China, where we're going to perform, I think, five shows. We fly out. Are we even flying out that night? That night or the next morning, we fly out to the West Coast, and then from the West Coast directly to Shanghai, and then this festival is a couple of hours from Shanghai. So it's the guy who runs the festival and his wife, we met him at Cal when Austin and I were undergraduates at Cal Berkeley. Stan Lai was working on his PhD, and now he's the big mover and shaker in Western theater in China. So he invited us to come perform at this festival.
You know what's going to happen if you perform in China, right?
What?
An hour later, they're going to want to see it again.
You're probably, from your mouth to God's ears.
So let me ask you a question then. If you get an elderly audience, do you think it'll work? Well...
It does. You know what's so funny, and I'm sure you've experienced this. You do a show for a quiet audience, and you go, oh, these people, oh, this is the worst audience ever, and they don't like the show, and they don't understand it. And then you go out to the lobby, and this is one of the many reasons we go out to the lobby, and these people come up and say, that was the funniest thing I've ever seen. I have never laughed so hard. And I say, really? Because, no, we don't say that. But you think, are you kidding me? Yeah, so it seems... you're the quietest loud laugher I've ever heard. The whole audience of them. So,
I think what might happen, instead of laughing and letting it go, they just pee in their pants.
Well, and that might have nothing to do with the show.
But it's true. When they sit there going, that's funny.
Yeah. Austin worked with a director one time in rehearsals, and you'd be rehearsing, and you'd do something, and he would burst out into laughter, and everybody said, and then he'd say, "Yeah, we're not going to do that." And then he'd be sitting watching, and he wouldn't laugh, and he'd point at it, and he'd say, "Now that's funny," and then they'd keep it in the show, and nobody would laugh. So Austin, there's a line in the show, when you see the show, I tell an old joke that's not that funny, and Austin stares at me blankly and says, now that's funny. And that's a tribute to that director.
I'm going to have a ball.
It's a fun show. It really is.
Half
now, by the way, do you,
you.
Do you have our dates there? It's October, is it the 25th and 26th?
The 26th.
Yeah, and I think we, so it's a Saturday and a Sunday, I think. So I think we do a matinee and an evening on Saturday, and then a Sunday matinee. So, you know, if people want to bring their families, there's two matinee opportunities, Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, I'll have to call there and ask them. I forgot. I told them I want to go on Saturday, and I don't remember what time I said. I'll have to find out. I just want to,
okay.
It doesn't matter to me. I'm, you know, closer
yes.
to the front of the stage. I mean,
yes.
if I'm in the back and I start screaming with laughter, you know.
We want people facing the front, not the back. Yes.
I once went to, you know who Sandy Dennis is, right? The actress?
Sure. Yeah.
So I met her. I was in the movie Up the Down Staircase, and that's how I met her.
Oh, cool.
And when she would do a Broadway show, I would get house seats, you know.
Uh-huh.
And she did this show, I think Absurd Person Singular. And she did this show, and there was just something she did in the show that was just so funny with the timing and what she said that I went absolutely hysterical with laughter. But what happens to me is that I start reliving it in my brain and continue, and I laugh again because it's so funny. And after
That's
the
funny.
Show, when I went to meet her, she said, "I'm sorry, did I give you tickets to the balcony?" I said, "No." I didn't
it's
realize
happening for you
how
now.
Loud I was laughing, but and it must have echoed throughout the because it's
That's
one of
hilarious.
Those things. It's like everybody stops laughing, and then I laugh again because I couldn't help laughing in the first place.
That's hilarious.
So that's why I, for one, I wasn't even going to go to see this show, but I looked at this thing. I said, I have to see the show. No, I really need to see this show. You know?
Oh, good.
So
good.
So what's going to happen? Actually, we're going to be previewing it for the Times Ledger in the
oh,
next
great.
Issue, so it'll be enough time for people to go.
Great.
And then when
great.
When I go to see the show, I'll probably then review it for
good.
Another Queens newspaper.
Great.
So
now you found our website, you told me.
Yes.
If you need photos,
well,
if you go,
yeah,
you can get them online. So let me give you the
okay.
info. And then you can get them instantly and whenever you want them.
Because I think
go,
this person, Allie asked if I needed photos.
Okay.
And I know that we're going to need because the editor always wants photos and quotes. Photos and quotes.
Okay. So if you go to reduceshakespeare.com and right under the picture at the top, to the far right, it says login. I don't know if you're on your
mm-hmm.
computer now. And you can click on login, and then that'll go to downloads. It'll ask for a password. So the password is Groucho, and it's all lowercase. Don't capitalize the G.
Okay.
Groucho. And then submit, and then it'll have all the names of the shows, and then those are all the shows we've made. And then Complete History of Comedy is at the top. You click on that, and then as you scroll down the page, you'll see all the photos there that are available.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
And I'm the bald one there, if you're online.
The bald one, okay.
Yeah.
As opposed to the bold one.
Yes, as opposed to the curly-haired one, as opposed to the tall, skinny one.
Right.
As opposed to the guy with the goatee, yeah. There's photos of a couple of different casts in there. So, but yeah,
oh, okay.
The cast in Queens will be me, Austin, and Dominic. So the bald one, the curly headed one, and the guy dressed as the tall skinny one dressed as Lincoln. That's the cast.
Oh, okay. So I guess you're looking. Do you have any shows between now and when you get here?
No. Although we're going to go to Queens and do the three shows. Then we head to China, but we have another cast at that time going to New Mexico, and they're going to do a couple performances of the show in New Mexico at the end of October. Then we go to, we have one show in St. Louis in the middle of November. Then we're going to be performing the comedy show out here in the Bay Area for a month in Marin, just north of San Francisco, kind of from Thanksgiving to Christmas. And at that same time, another cast is going to go out and be doing our touring our ultimate Christmas show abridged to Illinois and the D.C. area. So,
what theater are you doing this in St. Louis?
Washington University, the Edison Theater.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they have us frequently, so it's going back. We got a lot of longtime fans there, so that's always fun.
Okay, that's great. Well, it was absolutely great having you. I'm gonna after I get finished the show, I'm gonna be calling you back to tell you something.
Because
I don't have to talk to it on air because you're live now and it's archived and whatever. So
great. Well, thank you. I appreciate the coverage, and we'll see you at the show.
Okay, fantastic. Have a wonderful day, Reed.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so I am now going to end my show. Where's my thing? Certainly looking forward to seeing this, that's for sure. And so, everybody, have a great day. Whatever. The chickens, they're